Musically Meditated. Welcome to Musically Meditated, episode 20. This is a big deal. Ain't it, Stretton?
It's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal. It's 2-0. That's like extreme double digits. This shit's for real.
It is for real.
It is. We have some special guests here with us tonight. We have Chuck and Allison from Fluid Coffee. What's up, y'all?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
Good. First thing, I'll go with my story with this. When I went to Fluid Coffee for the first time, it was a great impression, first impression. There was Minor Threat playing in the background. Chuck, what's up with that, man? I think you have something to do with that. Maybe you too, Allison, but I think that might be Chuck.
Well, it's a collaboration.
It's a collaboration.
All it is, but I do tend to dominate the recorder there sometimes.
and then after that, then there was a little bit of Black Flag going on too. I was like, man,
that's probably our Fluid Punk station. So we create our different stations. So we have different stations for different moods.
Yeah.
Nice. Allison, do you like New Wave a little bit more? Or you're into punk too?
I like them both, yeah. I was really not into that much of New Wave. I mean, there's a few things that I like. I was a big Joy Division fan, and I still am. Looking forward to seeing Peter Hook in 2 months, actually.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Super
high fives.
Super excited.
Yeah. High fives. Where's he going? Like, where's he performing at?
The Aragon
Metro.
Ballroom.
Metro.
Metro.
Oh, really?
We've had the tickets for like 8 or 9 months at least, so I'm really excited about it.
That's really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely into Joy Division, a little New Wave, but very much into the punk scene too.
Lovin' Rockets, Bauhaus.
Oh, yeah.
Bauhaus.
Yeah.
Lovin' Rockets.
Oh, Chuck, good call on the Bauhaus.
Post-punk.
Like we had a vinyl night here many moons ago, right, Stretton?
Two months ago.
Two moons ago.
It seems so long ago, but I brought some Bauhaus here, and like I put it on, like Bella, what is it?
Bela Lugosi's dead.
Everybody just like kind of looked at me like, this shit's weird, Joe.
Yeah, that's their pop hit.
Is it their pop hit? Whatever,
Chuck. Oh, yeah, that's what they're known for, man.
Boom.
I know, it is.
And not to just, you know, well, not to name drop, so to speak, but we saw Peter Murphy, the lead singer from Bauhaus, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Or last year, last summer, whatever.
That was a crazy
was
crowd.
Last year? I don't know.
Yeah.
Great, great concert, though.
Where'd you see him at?
Talia Hall. So another reason that's one of those stories we were talking about, good stories at Talia Hall, you know.
Oh, I love that place.
That was a goth crowd. I'm going to tell you what, like these people got ready for like 4 or 5 hours before they showed up.
They were gothed up.
Beautiful people.
Yes,
yeah,
they were.
It was crazy. Crazy experiences in the bathroom. And there was a lot going on at that show.
Were people selling Lucy's in the bathroom?
There was a lot.
Do you know what a Lucy is? It's just a cigarette? Just one cigarette?
One cigarette.
Allison does that a lot.
I am a smoker. I know very well what a Lucy is.
Well, shit, when a pack of cigarettes like $12 in the city now, you know, it's...
You can't blame people.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, that's how I got you guys on the show. I sell Lucy's at Fluid Coffee. You know.
What?
Probably worked.
Right. ATF, don't come find me, but you know that's what we do. But at any rate, that's really cool. Bauhaus. I didn't see that one coming, Chuck. I didn't see that.
No, we love Bauhaus.
Yeah,
very cool.
That's probably one of. Well, we told you the story sitting at the bar, but not to get too long into it right now. But you know, we met in high school and in the art loft, so to speak, and one of the bands that was, you know, a constant backdrop was Lovin' Rockets, which is, you know, three of the four members of Bauhaus. And to this day, you know, we are still huge Bauhaus fan or huge Lovin' Rockets and Bauhaus fans. But we also saw a reincarnation of them last year called Pop Tones. And where's that? The Metro? At a Metro or... Metro, I think it was. And that brought me literally to tears. I mean, that was like the most emotional concert I've been to in a long time.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Where's Bauhaus from? I don't remember.
England.
They are British?
Yeah, they're British.
And they came out, what, like late 70s, right? That whole, that little post-punk?
Yeah, probably more like early 80s when they, It may have been late 70s when they got going, but they didn't hit their stride until...
I think like 79-ish, honestly.
79.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. I think it's like 79 to 83, I think, is like a greatest hits type of album that we have, so...
And Allison, you said Joy Division. Chuck, you like Joy Division, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
Yeah. I mean, I know Ian Curtis killed himself before you guys probably got to see him live, but awesome band. Yeah. And when you mentioned them, I came here earlier today at the Green Door, and I was like... Siri or whatever that is, Alexa, you know, play Joy Division. They played like one song, and Michael that you met earlier, he's like, turn that off right now, it's too down. I'm like, but it's February.
But we need this.
He said it's too down?
Yeah.
He said what does he listen to all day long? He
listens to National.
The National.
And it makes me, I'm like, put it on. Like somebody came in here, I'm like, put on the National.
National makes me want to walk outside with no coat on.
It's true.
That's brutal right now.
It is brutal. He's like Joy Division. I think it was like Shadow Play, you know? He's like, this is just, it's a little bit too edgy for me right now. I'm like,
whatever, dude.
I made that face. Nobody can see this face right now. But I was like, come on, guys. Come on. But yeah, I love Joy Division. Way ahead of their time.
Way ahead of their time, right?
I mean,
big time. Now people are just finally, you know, hitting the stride with Joy Division, and you know, shit, we're hearing them in like freaking Kohl's or something now. You know, it's killing me. I hate going to.
It's true.
It wasn't Kohl's, but
it wasn't.
I think it was Chipotle though, or something.
Chipotle? No, don't say that. They had a Joy Division burrito.
They had the
lines on it,
and it started out with locally. Three Floyds put out that Floyd Division beer.
Floyd Division,
you know,
really
the
cool.
and then Franklin House,
in Valpo with the Franklin or the House Burger, where they do the, you know, that's
they
and shout out to Justin Wallace, because you guys, you know, he hooked me up, but he got me a couple of those bottles. Yeah, he got me a couple of those bottles. The Joy Division. What was it called? House Division?
Floyd Division.
Floyd Division
bottles.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. But
it's a good design.
They're a really good band. And what was the Blue Monday, the group after Ian
New
Curtis?
Order.
New Order.
New Order.
Yeah.
You can't deny them.
Yeah.
You know, like with those old school beats and the old school analog synths and drum machines. Like, they're the shit.
Yeah.
You know, big time.
Which, that's Peter Hook. You know, he was the one that carried the torch on, so to speak, you know, from Ian Curtis. And, you know, obviously it got a lot more poppy, you know, after that. They wanted to be more successful than Joy Division. They wanted to be more, you know, current. And you can't blame them.
No,
you know,
and it was fun, though. I mean, it's enjoyable, right?
Yeah.
Like the song Ceremony, I love that song.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I know there was like earlier Joy Division, like with Ian Curtis on the vocals for that, but that's a great song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very well written song. Have you ever heard Radiohead cover that?
Mm.
It's Ceremony.
Awesome.
Mm. I don't think so, no.
Yeah, they cover Ceremony by Joy Division.
Yeah, we'll
have to check that out.
Really, really good.
We like Radiohead quite a bit, hence the name of one of our sandwiches.
Yeah, I named one of our sandwiches after.
Yeah.
Well, I named it, it's on a Parmesan bagel, so I named it Parma Police. It's kind of cheesy.
Oh, that's really
cheesy. Parmesan bagel.
Parmesan.
That's catchy.
Parma Police.
I agree. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Where'd you get your Parmesan from, though?
Yeah.
Right?
And hence the other sandwich, Love Buzz, which is our other... favorite band who I died from, which we just learned like, I don't know, a few months ago that Love Buzz is a cover from a 60s song. I never knew that.
It's an old school cover.
Yeah.
Love Buzz is an old school cover. Yeah.
I don't remember
the band's name right now, but
some obscure, like,
if we had Wallace with us right now, he would let us know.
He
was a big Nirvana guy, but I can't remember the name.
Dude,
somebody just said the name too.
When Kurt Cobain died, you know, I mean, that's like a groove in our mind, you know. We remember where we were at, and I mean, we were.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you have to, from people our age, you know, growing up at that time.
It's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear your story, Chuck. When Kurt died.
I mean, so I lived the first time I heard Kurt Cobain, or first time I heard Nirvana. It was off of Bleach, and I was at a nightclub in Jacksonville, Florida, and it came on, and it was like, really, like, I mean, I had heard a little bit of Mudhoney and, you know, the Seattle scene stuff, but, you know, that raw, you know, kind of
low tuned guitars and a little bit of that Cookie Monster growl behind it, right?
Shit. I mean, when I heard that, I stopped. And I'm like, I gotta know who. So I go up to the DJ, ask him who it is. He tells me who it is, And so from then on, it's like I'm a hardcore Nirvana fan. And then, and then I come to I was living in Florida at the time, and I come back up here to be with Allison. I moved from Florida to be with Allison.
Aww.
Thank you. Aww. Thank you. I'm still appreciative.
Yeah. So I came back up here, and you know, Nirvana hadn't hit yet, and I'm trying to find them in record stores, and I'm in like, I don't know, Tinley Park or somewhere. I don't remember where we were at.
Orland Tinley,
whatever. And I go into the burbs.
You were burbs, right?
Yeah, those were our best friend lived or something over there. I don't know. I hate going over there. But
Stratton's from the burbs.
Yeah. No offense.
No, he's from Maryville.
Yeah. He's from Maryville.
Yeah, whatever. Maryville.
That's the 219. Kind of
like the burbs.
Southeast suburbs. Yeah. That's what I always tell people. Like, from the southeast suburbs.
Of Gary. But anyway, we get that. I come back up here and I'm telling Allison, dude, you got to hear Nirvana. I love Nirvana. That is freaking awesome. And we go to this record store and I'm scanning. I'm straight to the ends looking for Nirvana. And I'm like, yes, I got it. And I get the album and bought it on CD. CD was a kind of a new thing for me. It was actually
like $40 a pop to a new thing. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to Hagrish Records. My mom's like,
expensive.
I got your dad a bunch of CDs. Yeah. Like $40 a pop.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Remember that? Remember Hagrish and shit?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, God.
We Hagrish lived
was a
at Hagrish.
Big part of
man.
Our lives, yeah. Big part of our lives.
Those guys turned
That's
us
how
on
we discovered
to...
Ween.
Yeah. Ween.
That was one of the best discoveries ever, walking into Hagrish and like, what is this?
Remember they were
well,
in that
is
Pat
Ween.
Movie, right?
I was like, what?
That what?
Pat from...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Saturday Night Live. Yeah,
remember
yeah, yeah.
Ween was in Pat?
Yes.
Oh, no, I don't remember that one.
I forgot that one. It
went fits, shit. Though, you know, yeah. with
Ween.
Joe's also
Dean.
From the suburbs.
From the
shout
Hobart.
Out to the movie Pat.
I'm from the Hobarts. I'm from the Hobarts.
Hobarts. Anyway, so the Nirvana thing, and I won't drag it on too much longer, but... We get out in the car and it's me and Allison and her best friend and we get in the car and I rip that package open and I put that CD in and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I look at it, I get the album and I'm like, this is not Nirvana, and it was Nevada. And it was some band named Nevada. And it was crap.
It was horrible
total
music.
Crap. I don't even know. I'm sorry if you're a Nevada fan or whatever.
If you're from Nevada.
If you're from Nevada.
We don't like you.
But it was not Nirvana, and that's all that matters. And I was pissed, and I took it out, and I whipped it in the back seat and hit her friend in the head with the CD.
True story.
With the CD? Yeah.
With the CD.
A $40 CD?
So and that was that's my Nirvana Nevada. Story.
I believed him. He's like, there's this beautiful band, Nirvana, and you know, you gotta hear it. And no,
it's
I heard
Nevada. Nevada, wrong yeah. one. It
but
looked like
it was,
the same font.
It was a
everything.
Few months later, and then they kind of started,
yeah, then
being
then,
out there. We
yeah.
finally got the CD.
Then Nevermind came out,
and,
yeah.
and
you know,
changed
all,
the world.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah, changed the world.
Yeah,
we were living after that. Right after that album came out, we were living in
Knoxville,
we moved
Tennessee.
And we moved to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm still like obsessed with them. And I worked with this guy that just wanted to. I don't know if he was just trying to get under my skin, but he was always telling me, "Oh, they're no Jimi Hendrix. They're never gonna be as big as Jimi Hendrix." And I'm like, "You're full of shit. They're gonna be bigger than Jimi Hendrix. I mean, they will go down in history as." World-changing, you know, band, a world-changing yeah. band. No, nothing. You know, I'm like, oh, well, you know,
one
time,
of those old
time proves
heads.
Him wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. One of those old rock and roll heads.
Yeah.
And I think
which,
that's,
hey, I love Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Too, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. Much respect. But when you guys were listening to Nirvana back then, I know you had like a love and passion for coffee. And it was before Starbucks.
Truth.
Because you shared that with me when I met you guys. You want to reflect a little bit on that, Allison? Like, what's your...
Well, like Chuck said, at that time, we lived in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Knoxville, Tennessee was kind of a coffee town in ways. There was a place there called JFG Coffee, which was in a super cool old industrial building in what they call Old Town in Knoxville. Knoxville's a college town, and there was a lot of, there was a pretty decent art and music scene there. And they started really, this would have been at the time that Frasier and Friends was coming out, and there was like this little coffee culture happening. And Chuck and I would go out for coffee all the time. And there was this Victorian house up on a hill that it was just a tiny little place. And these people opened it and started serving really good coffee. And there were a couple other cafes downtown. And we were like, this is what we want to do. We want to open up a coffee place. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a great thing. It's a stimulant. We love to drink it and sit around. It inspires conversation that is completely and totally different than alcohol and creativity. And, yeah, at that time, it just started to be kind of a thing. Before that, it really wasn't in the U.S. It really wasn't where people went out for coffee. They might have coffee with their breakfast at, you know, a family restaurant, you know, a little cafe. But the coffee house scene really started to pop at that time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and Chuck, with yourself, like looking back at the history, did you get involved at the same time? Like that's when your interest peaked in coffee? Because, I mean, I remember you told me that you were getting into it wave, like first wave, right? Isn't there like three waves? You guys are in the third wave right now?
Right. Sure. I mean, in general, that's what they call it. I mean, a lot of people don't like to use the term third wave, but it is what it is. I mean, first wave being like your, like Allison said, like the JFG is like another company, like a Maxwell House or a Folgers or something like that. That's first wave. And then second wave would be the introduction of like espresso-based drinks to the American public, you know, and that was where we were at when what right. Allison is describing.
Okay.
We were at that beginning in this area, yeah. In the, you know, in this general region of the United States of the second wave. And of course it was already happening in, you know, in Seattle and California and stuff like that. But as you know, things are slow to make it to the Midwest. And even though we were in the South, it's even slower to make it to the South a lot of the times.
Yeah.
But so we were in that second wave, right there. And so, you know, flash forward, too many years, and we're into that third wave, and some people even say maybe even the fourth wave.
Yeah. Fourth wave action, huh?
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, we're going to all different types of waves, but the whole coffee game is really interesting, like, to me, you know, like, personally, I remember the first time I ever really dabbled into it, like, from an independent view, was through Dark Matter at the Mothership there on the west side of Chicago and Ukrainian Village, because my friend lives next door to it, like I told you guys.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything like it before. And what was really, really cool was how they would implement like art, you know, as far as music goes. And they always had this like heavy metal thing going on. And like I mentioned earlier, when I walked into your guys' place, hearing Minor Threat, like you guys have this really cool punk rock vibe. So. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a really cool element between, you know, maybe craft beers and coffee, where it's very do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are doing it yourself. So
mm-hmm.
I really tip my hat to you guys for that. Like, that's really, really cool.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, really, really cool. And it's like a really, really good environment for creating. And Allison told me too, what is the historical vibe of coffee? Remember, you broke it down to me before, and I thought that was really, really cool.
Kind of when coffee came to Europe, it was a big change, because people were constantly just drinking beer and basically gin all day long. And that really kind of gives a certain vibe to when people hang out, you know? They started early in the morning drinking alcohol, and things just went on that way for many years. And then when coffee came to Europe, it really sparked this whole new kind of vibe. And there were coffee shops everywhere popping up. And people started to drink coffee, which is a stimulant, you know, the whole uppers and downers thing. And that's how the Age of Enlightenment kind of happened. So there was so many new things. At the same time that coffee came into Europe, there was just all kinds of changes in philosophy, art, music. people were like getting stuff done, and it kind of changed to where people drank coffee in the morning and drank alcohol in the evening. And it brought on a whole new way of living, really. And we like to embody that part in what we do in Fluid. That's why we have so much art and music and things around. Coffee's a stimulant, and people need that part of their lives too, you know? So yeah. It kind of changed things.
Yeah, it did. And I like how you broke that down to me. Like, yeah. You know, when I first met you guys, like, wow, that, like, and I'm a history dude. Like, it was a great history lesson, so thank you.
Cool.
But yeah, the whole Enlightenment era, like, and it's true, like, it brings artists together to either write, paint, make music, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do.
I have a random question, sort of. Have you guys been to the Uppers and Downers event at Talia Hall since
Roy mentioned it
before?
That's a blast.
I've been wanting to go
back
for the last,
Talia,
it's been, I think it's been going on 2 years or something, maybe three?
I think three years.
Okay. We've been to two of the three.
Yeah.
It just happened recently?
Yeah.
Not too long ago?
February. Yeah.
February?
I think the
We
missed it.
Oh shit.
Or it might be the it might be a couple of days. I don't want to say that for sure.
Okay.
So this would be the fourth year, because we didn't go to the first one, we went to the next two after that, because some of our, you know,
and it's pretty awesome
suppliers there. Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
So you go over and, you know, try a bunch of different espressos, you know, pulling it on the La Mazurcos and different baristas and different, you know, roasters in the city, and then you go over to the booths where they're using those coffees, you know, in their beer collabs, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's when you get some real experimental stuff. And the atmosphere. I was wondering about the atmosphere too. All the people out there, you could probably have some really good conversations and shoot ideas. Is it that way? That was my hope.
Is it snobby, though?
No, it's not snobby at all. Right. I mean, I didn't find it to be snobby. I mean, you just go back and forth from one line drinking espresso and to another line drinking beer. Mm. I didn't have... And there's some, like, training courses and stuff going on. Excuse me. Pour-over demonstrations and coffee demonstrations and things. And you can have some good conversations with the baristas and with the people, you know, pouring the beers from the different, you know, breweries and things, but it's not really an intellectual type of environment, but it's in...
Just people yelling, I'm fired up at each other?
Yeah.
This coffee's strong.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a little bit antisocial person, so I don't just strike up conversations with strangers usually.
But Chuck, back to... the coffee, and as far as the beans go, like I asked you before, I know you guys get your beans from other places. Like, what's the history behind that? Like, where do you get it from? Like, what's the business behind it too for the listener?
I mean, a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, it's becoming common knowledge that, you know, not all coffee is made equal. In a way, you know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but in a way, the coffee culture right now is kind of paralleling the craft beer industry. And, you know, obviously coffee has been... It's not hit the popularity that craft brews have hit, but there's a lot of similarities there in that... You know, when you drink a craft beer that someone has really, you know, put a lot of time and effort into, as opposed to, like, you know, the big guys, it's the same in the coffee industry, you know. So, you know, we'll get a bean, you know, that's been direct traded from, you know, let's say like Ethiopia or something like that, where you pay a little bit more for it, but you know that the farmer is being taken care of and their practices are being watched, and they're growing things and developing things in a sustainable way. And that's like super important. I mean, there's been times in coffee history where there's been diseases and things that, you know, that have come into play, and then there's been times where in the coffee industry, like the second wave that we're talking about, or actually that first wave more so probably than the second wave that we're talking about, where you know, it's just about volume, and they'll clear cut Rainforest or something like that to put
Maxwell House type.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's garbage coffee. It's low grow, super fast, you know, jittery, you know, bad stuff. So it's the difference of, you know, drinking a finely crafted, you know, wine or a finely crafted beer, or, you know, even these days with the distilleries are becoming much more popular. It's the same with the coffee. You know, you source these beans from, you know, these different farms that have these practices that align with your beliefs and your morals and things like that. So it's not just a matter of, XYZ has, some coffee beans for sale. I'm going to buy those and roast them. No, it's a lot more than that now. You know the origins, the elevation that they're grown at, you know, the cultivars, you know, so much more, you know, who the farmer is, you know, if where the washing station is, you know, all these different things about the coffee, and that makes a big, big difference to that end user.
And so, like, with the drinker, too, like, I go through my phases, you know, drinking coffee and that, but, you know, as a drinker of it, when I do decide to drink it, I like to know the history of it, so that's really, really, really cool. Like you mentioned, like, earlier, like, I don't know, as far as where it comes from is where it starts, you know? And
that's a difference between coffee, beer, distilleries, all of that, wine. We can grow grapes in America. We can grow hops in America, grain alcohols, things like that. But coffee is only grown in this small band around the equator. And that takes a lot of communication to be able to deal with farmers in different countries, speaking different languages, and crossing that, you know, these barriers, so to speak, to buy the right coffee, to have these relationships. It takes a lot, and that makes coffee a little bit different, and it makes it a little bit more difficult in those ways, you know.
How are you guys able to go about the research to where you want to get the certain bean from?
The beauty of the internet, for the most part. You know? I mean,
the intranet.
Yeah. So the interwebs. Yeah.
The interwebs.
Yes, the interwebs. So you deal with these guys, like you mentioned, Dark Matter, and they have direct relations with these farmers in South America, and they do a lot of stuff in like Colombia and El Salvador and things like that, where they go down there and they're kind of like punk rock dudes. They go down there and, you know, and have a part in how things are fermented and developed and grown and things like that. So that's generically called direct trade. And then you have other people, like we deal with a roaster out of Chicago, which many people will know, which is Intelligentsia. And they're super, it's two different sides of kind of like the coffee spectrum, you know. They're super serious about it. You know, they're all about direct trade. They're all about, you know, getting the best of the best of the best. So they'll go to these.
I love
these,
it. Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it is,
it's like
awesome.
Buying union-made, American-made stuff, you know, when you're buying boots from cars, you know. Like, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So those guys will, you know, go down there. Actually, Intelligentsia is the buyer for Intelligentsia. Jeff Watts is the guy that came up with, that coined the term direct trade back in like 2007, 2008. So it's not that long ago that the term direct trade came about. But, you know, as opposed to everybody's heard the term fair trade, direct trade is a little bit different than that. So they'll go down there and have direct relations and have direct communications with these farmers and wash stations and importers and all, you know, the whole supply chain they'll have, you know, relations with. And that is a huge, it's not perfect, but it's a huge, huge advantage of getting good coffee. So we kind of like rely on people like the experts at Intelligentsia. I know in the coffee world around here, you know, they're like sellouts. They were bought out in 2015, I think, by Pete's.
Which, shame on them.
Yeah, you know, you can't blame the dude.
Partially.
I mean, yeah, and nothing. I mean, and we've been working with him since, you know, early 2016, and you know, so 2 years later, I mean, they've done nothing but gotten better. Right. In my opinion,
here's my thing. Like, I could only speak for myself, but if I have a good idea and someone else thinks it's a good idea and they want to buy it for millions, isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, call me a sellout. I'm a millionaire, right? You know, I mean, call me a sellout. I'm a millionaire. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were able to.
I mean, there's a level, like, you got to keep it real, but
yeah.
I'm living on an island somewhere or something, you know?
Yeah.
They were able to keep, a lot of control. Right. I mean, it's the same people that are still there, and they were able to really keep things at the same level that they were at before. And like Chuck said, even improve, where there's more money to fly to Peru now, you know, and to meet this farmer's brother and see what he's doing and stuff like that. So they were really in the way that they did the whole deal. They were really able to keep a lot of the control, and that makes a big difference. And in direct trade, like Chuck was talking about too, part of that is they pay 20% above fair trade prices.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's the real deal.
It sounds like the real deal. And like the whole equator thing, I mean, as far as the habitat goes and where you're growing whatever plant it is, it seems very, very important, especially when it comes to coffee or whatever else, right?
Oh, it is. It's not only elevation, the area, the amount of rainfall, but it also has to do with what else is growing around there. So there's, when you're growing organically, which that's the kind of coffee that we want to use, you don't want a bunch of stuff sprayed on your coffee or your vegetables or things like that. But there's different ways of growing different trees and different plants near the coffee that help keep, it's like a natural pesticide. So it helps keep, certain pests away, and it helps like the soil depending on the pH levels and all of this stuff. So these practices are kind of ancient for, people have been growing coffee for a long, long time. You know, Ethiopia is the birthplace of coffee, and the history is really rich, and it goes way back, and people have learned their land, what works with their soil. And that all has to do with growing different plants that help the coffee. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting.
That's really cool. And Chuck was telling me too, like, there are battles, right? Like, over that equator type of land, like, to grow coffee or maybe other drugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just rich soil.
Yeah. And, you know, Central and South America, where, you know, you have your drug cartels, you know, where they would really rather grow, you know, like poppies or something like that. Some of those coffee farmers have been accosted by, you know, by these guys. And some of them have literally had to fight back, you know, with force to grow coffee, because that's what they do, you know. And so that's crazy to think about from our American, you know, lens, but
that fertile soil is fertile soil, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever you can grow there, there's good stuff coming out of that area.
Yeah.
You know?
And sometimes generations will especially in Colombia. Colombia, you know, where maybe your father owned a coffee farm and then you're growing cocaine. And then maybe the next generation's like, you know what? This is not,
we'll grow coffee here instead of cocaine. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be strong.
Right.
I should blend the two.
We should blend the two.
Blend them up.
With nitrous? I don't know. It's just an idea. At any rate, but yeah. You got to blend it. But you guys' nitrous blend got me going. I'll just put that out there. I was a very, just a great employee that night.
Production.
But what was that, real quick?
You got a lot done.
I got a lot done. What was in that little shot glass, though?
Yeah. Like, so
talk to me about that nitrous.
Nitro. Nitrogen. Okay. Not nitrous. You know, that's the
too many raves.
Not the gas.
Too many raves.
Too many raves in the late '90s, Joe. Right. Don't look at me like that.
Been buying balloons at the Grateful Dead too often. You know. But anyway, I don't think you can get high off of nitrogen, but maybe you can. I don't know. Depends if you. But no, we keg our coffee and infuse it with nitro or nitrogen, and serve it on tap just like a beer. You know, so when you come in there, it's a stout tap. You know, so it creates that creamy head, just like a Guinness or, you know, any other, you know, stout type of beer. So when you get that, and I think I showed you last time you were there, it's theatrical a little bit.
You see it,
and you see the cascading effect, and it's beautiful.
It looked like the Titanic was sinking in a small glass.
It's good stuff, though. It's good stuff.
It did. It was good, though. It was productive that night. It
definitely. So that's high octane, you know, because of the process, you know, and brewing that, you know, it extracts a lot more caffeine. So you got 2.5 times, give or take. You know, probably give.
And the whole brewing culture is a whole nother thing, right? Like, as far as people obviously respect and enjoy what they're doing, but isn't there a culture behind brewing coffee like there is brewing beer?
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, it goes to, there's a couple different things, you know. So we roast a little bit of we'll source our own green beans, so to speak, and our own raw coffee beans. And we'll roast a little bit of those, and then we'll buy some pre, you know, kind of roasted from the guys that, you know, really have been doing it for a long time, do a good job of it. So in that respect, it's similar, but like Allison pointed out, like, you know, you can buy all the ingredients to make beer, you know, within a, you know, a very small radius of any brewery. That's a totally different story when it comes to coffee, but the similarities are there. There's a kindred spirit, so to speak, with us. And, you know, obviously we're sitting here drinking, well, wait a minute. So
Hams.
it's the evening. So Hams and, Lagunitas.
Lagunitas and pear brandy.
Yeah, so it's the evening, you know. Excellent stuff, by the
way.
It
is. It's really good.
Yeah.
You can't get that shit on the shelves.
No, absolutely not. Uh-uh. You gotta bring that back with you.
Yeah, you do. You do.
But anyway, the point is, we just went down another path. We get around to, I mean, we always joke, like people like say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Well, we went to coffee shops and breweries. And that's no joke. That's what we do in our free time. That's what we do for fun. So if it's within a 2-3 mile radius of where we live, we've probably been there if it has anything to do with coffee.
2-3 hour radius.
What'd I say?
2-3 mile.
Oh, yeah. 2-3 hours.
That's a good spot to transition into that ministry show you two wanted to tell me about. Allison, did you get kicked in the face or something?
This is my claim to fame.
What happened at that
still
ministry?
Has a boot mark.
Well,
I know you two want to tell
at
me that
this
story.
Ministry concert, Jello Biafra happened to be there. And I was a big fan.
The power of lard.
And I was pressed up against the stage so hard that my ribs were bruised for probably a week or two. And this happens to me a lot. It still happens to me a lot because I want to be right there all the time. So, and then at punk shows, you usually get kind of compressed. And so I was right there at the front, and I was getting kind of rowdy with Jello. And he literally put that big doc right, boom, to my face, on the side of my face. And I was a little sad.
I didn't know the story was going to end that way.
Yeah, well, I was a little sad, but I was also a little, like, happy. It was like a badge of honor for me because I was like,
it was
well,
your punk rock,
this
punk
is
rock.
Like my punk rock girl moment right here. I mean, I've got this, you know.
Well, there's just a little miscommunication.
A little miscommunication between Jello and I. But the ministry concert itself was a blast. I mean, it was in the transition of ministry being kind of like the, you know, kind of poppy music. Yes. Into boom, we're
Halloween
throwing it all out there.
Trip.
Yeah. Right,
that's what ministry
and,
is.
And when Chuck and I showed up to this show, we really didn't know what to expect, but we were pleasantly surprised because the show got crazy, and it was the last time and the only time that they were at the Holiday Star Theater in Maryville because the crowd literally ripped out the seats of the Holiday Star Theater.
And we're whipping. Nobody likes seats.
Nobody wanted the seats.
Not at a show like that.
There was no room for a pit until people were
ripped
pulling
out the seats
up by the bolt, so out of the concrete floor. And it got really, really crazy. And we had a great time. And that is what turned us on to ministry. We were just going kind of because it was in Maryville. And it was like, well, the bop is all right. You know, it's right here in our town. And then we were, just got really crazy
then
really different
ministry,
really fast.
Huh?
And then we both got into ministry.
I had Twitch, the album Twitch, which was the predecessor, I think it was the album right before The Land of Rape and Honey came out, which totally changed things. And then I had Sympathy, which was, I think that was Al Jorgensen's first album. And Sympathy basically sucked.
I like TV too. Was that on that album?
I don't know, man. I try to block that out. Okay. The truth, it's not my kind
cup
of music.
Tea.
Yeah,
it's not
no,
my cup of tea,
no, no, not at all. And he didn't want to do that, and I appreciate that. And then Twitch had okay at Isle of Man, and you know, and then Halloween and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, was okay. So like Allison said, we weren't like super stoked to go to this show, but it's like, well, shit, it's in Maryville, you know, it's like alternative, before the word alternative was being thrown around. And so we went, and actually, Allison actually snuck me into that concert.
Damn, Allison, so, way to go.
Yeah.
She pushed a side door open in.
I snuck us into a concert last summer, too.
Yeah.
Or
you guys are rebels.
Before.
Google Bordello.
Google Bordello at Thalia Hall last summer. I was
How
like,
was that?
It was great.
Awesome.
It was so high energy, and we were standing outside, just hanging out, drinking, and
we're like regular faces there. I don't think they even
you're like regular.
Yeah.
You're
we go hang out there. I mean, whether it's a show or not, we go hang out there. I don't know. We're not that regular, but I mean, we go there.
We like that place. Is really cool.
We had no wristband, and I went in, and yeah,
it was sold out.
So yeah, I like sneaking into shows. And I snuck Chuck into that ministry show.
I snuck Chuck
in. I paid for my ticket.
Did you?
But the original, the ministry show, but got it. Yeah.
That was
great. And then we got to see them again New Year's Eve, either 2015 or 16, in Chicago just a couple years ago. And Al Jorgensen put on a old school, like playing all the old hits kind of show. And it was on New Year's Eve, and there was like confetti falling from the ceiling.
That's
and,
what we want.
Like,
confetti,
you know, like, yeah, the Jack Daniels just thrown out into the audience. And
Jack
it
and
was,
confetti.
It was,
that's what we want.
We had a blast at that show. Was that 2016 New Year's Eve?
I don't know. It was at Concord
Hall. Yeah.
Which there were a bunch of Nazis there.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. They're, you know, once you're in, you're in. There's no.
They don't let you go outside to smoke.
Oh, it's
or,
one of those Nazis.
Yeah. Those that Concord Hall thing. But it was
Forgot
still
about them,
it was
yeah.
a great show.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good place. I don't mean to like
Concord Hall.
Yeah, we've seen
pissing their Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You don't mean to piss in their Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We saw Naked Reagan for the last time.
Yeah,
there,
I want
too.
To ask you guys about them, like, because you were into punk when you were younger. When you got together, like, Naked Reagan is the huge Chicago punk rock.
Oh yeah.
Band.
Yeah.
How was that back in the day? Did you guys see them back in the day?
Oh god,
yeah.
Did you see Black Flag with them?
No, never saw Black Flag.
Okay.
I wish.
Yeah, that would have been great. I the first time I saw Naked Reagan was actually in Valparaiso, Indiana. And so it was way before they really kind of got popular. They came out to VU. And I was just ecstatic that they were going to be at VU. I mean, it was crazy. And I think that would probably have been like 88 maybe.
Damn.
And so I went to VU and they played in the gym.
Cool.
And it was like a pit going on right on that like wood gym floor. And we hung out with them. Me and my girlfriends hung out with them, like getting ready for the show, and met them and got the t-shirt signed, and we had a blast. And that kind of started a whole thing where, I don't know, Chuck and I have seen Naked Reagan at least a dozen times together. With a bunch of friends. We definitely were part of that Chicago punk show scene
cool.
where Reagan was a
free
big
shit.
Part of it. Yeah, the throwing out free shit. And yeah, it was a lot of the same people, a lot of the same people from the city, the suburbs, Northwest Indiana, that everybody went to those shows. And
that's really cool.
It was a definite thing, and it was really sentimental at a lot of times. And all wore the Naked Ray Gun t-shirts all the time. And
do you have any of those t-shirts from back in the day?
I have one. Shit. I do. And
I can't fit in mine
now anymore. They
put it on eBay, chat for $1,000.
No, I don't have that anymore, but we had some classics.
We have Naked Ray Gun free shit bells on Fluid's back bar sitting up there. They're like these little cowbell things and say the NR on there. And so we pay homage to Naked Ray Gun. Definitely a big part of our youth was
That's really cool.
Scene. They still practice together above the Cobra Lounge, which is All Rise Brewing Company there, which is near Intelligentsia, where we're constantly over there getting coffee, doing cuppings, things like that. So we hang out at there. And yeah, it's super intimate, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's small. It's a great place to see, especially little punk shows.
But, I saw Pig Destroyer there like a long time ago, and it was really violent. It was intimate.
Intimate and violent.
At the same time, and shit was like, get down.
Cool.
Yeah, but, very cool.
So a lot of those beers at the brewery, at All Rise Brewery, are named after Naked Ray Gun songs and Naked Ray Gun references and things like that, because they're a part of that. So, yeah.
Very cool. I mean, what about any other bands with them? Was there anything else that you remember that was worthwhile?
Oh, man.
The punk bands? No.
One of the best shows I think we ever went to that I remember...
Butthole Surfers.
I love the Butthole Surfers, man. I mean, that was like quintessential, like, kind of fuck you out rock there.
I mean, Beavis and Butthead loved them.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's how I got into them when I was a kid.
Well, you know, there's
the Butthole Surfers.
There's that Al Jorgensen ministry tie too, which kind of endears me to them somewhat as well.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, like Jesus Built My Hot Rod, you know, that was a collab with Gabby Hayes and Al Jorgensen, and you know, and there's that crossover a lot. I mean, Al Jorgensen has his hands in so many different bands, you know, and Thousand Homo DJs or
I remember that. Yeah.
Or Revolting Cox, or you know, and then a lot of people spawned off of his, you know, collection of people like Pigface would be another big one that I liked back in the day. But Chris Conley, I mean, these people, you know, they've got all these Chicago ties, kind of, so to speak. But Butthole Surfers, we saw at Aragon Ballroom, and
cool.
Believe it or not,
how was that show? I mean, were there a lot of people there? Like,
oh my God, it was packed. It was
no
great.
Shit.
But the thing is that it was packed because the opening act for them was Stone Temple Pilots. And
get out of here!
Yeah. And this was before, you know, they hit it big. You know, they were riding the coattails. We always considered them riding the coattails of, you know, Nirvana and Alice in Chains. All that.
To a certain extent, but much respect to Scott Weiland. I love him.
Yeah, he's dead, and that's okay, and everything.
Dude.
So it's being harsh. Fred, what do you have to say about that? Fred's a big Stone Temple Pilots.
Stone Temple Pilots. It's not that. It's just
no,
that
it's all right. It's all right.
if you grew up with that, they really were like the redheaded stepchildren to us.
Yeah,
of that, you know,
he's my dude though.
Yeah,
I like Scott.
He's good, and you know, when
how was he that night though? Was he all
right? Well, more people were there to see them than the Butthole Surfers, and Gabby Hayes didn't take too kindly to that.
Oh wow!
And so that was
controversial.
Yeah, it
a
was
little
a
bit.
Little,
yeah,
a yeah, little bit. I don't think he liked him very much.
It was the mixing of worlds.
Yeah.
You know, so things were kind of changing.
Yeah, he thought they were sellouts, and he made it known.
Yeah.
Was it like Stone Temple Pilots' first album?
I don't know.
Yeah. It had
to be like 94?
Yeah. No?
Yeah,
it was like
the second or third album.
Yeah.
At any rate, but yeah, Butthole Surfers, Stone Temple Pilots.
They weren't a household name quite yet. I mean, they were big enough to where more people were there to see them than the headliner, Butthole Surfers. But
okay.
But still, I mean, that was a great show. We had a great time. And Gabby Hayes, I'm surprised it didn't burn the fucking place down, man. I mean, it was...
Flames.
What about some metal? I know you too. I see some metalhead behind
you. Yeah.
You were telling me about Slayer, and I didn't know that. This is their last tour coming up, right? Chuck, you were telling me?
Someone told us something. I wasn't a huge... When you were there last time, there was a customer, you know, talking to me and you at the same time. Anyway, she was saying that she got our tickets for the final Slayer tour, so I guess it's like they're...
What about Judas Priest?
Farewell.
I know you're Judas Priest
Judas
guy.
Priest, I
you
love
guys had
Judas
that
Priest.
Cool T-shirt you showed me, too.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we're probably breaking all sorts of copyright infringements.
Nobody
and all
cares.
That. Yeah,
nobody's coming whatever. To get us.
Whatever, feds.
We're
federales.
Yes.
We got hams.
Yeah.
Hams beers.
Feds of Porter That's County, right. Indiana.
But yeah, they're coming after
They're
food.
Coming after dudes that drink hams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I grew up as like a, I mean, more of a, I was into BMX biking, you know, and stuff like that. So that was kind of like the theme of things. So a lot of metal, a lot of Priest, a lot of Iron Maiden type of stuff. And I'm a huge like Black Sabbath fan. And
who isn't though?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're
I mean, no disrespect, but everybody loves Black Sabbath.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Allison, you like Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely.
Well, that's a good story.
Yeah,
right
let me
there.
Hear Black.
That's
you a got a Black Sabbath story?
Well, I got an Ozzy Osbourne story.
Fair
Uh-oh.
Enough.
Uh-oh.
You know, Ozzy and I go way back. Oh, I'm just kidding.
That's your boy?
No, yeah.
That's
no,
your homie?
Not even close.
This
I wish.
This is like a love Valentine's story.
This is a
story.
Love story.
What?
So I have a way of like begging Chuck to do stuff a lot of times and... One time, I didn't have a ride to go somewhere that I wanted to go, and Chuck had tickets for an Ozzy Osbourne concert, and I begged him long enough that he took me where I wanted to go instead of going to the Ozzy Osbourne concert, and I regret that, but at the same time... He won my heart.
Way to go,
but
Chuck.
I never let her live it down. So. Hey, remember that time I missed the Ozzy concert for you?
Hey, but
that's how much I love you.
He could get away with anything with saying that. He could get away with
people
anything.
People drove you there. I love you. I love you, babe.
I love you, babe.
But yeah, Sabbath, Ozzy, the first time I got to see them was like 99 Ozfest, and I was really
yeah.
happy
oh,
about
yeah.
it. Because Good Geezer stuff. Was playing bass, Bill Ward was yeah. on drums, Tony Iommi, and then Ozzy. They were like, it's our last show. And then they yeah. just did their last
yeah,
show
right.
like last year.
That's what they keep saying.
Like
they're going to wheel Ozzy
Bill
out
Bill Ward
the
can't play no more. And then yeah. they had like Brad Wilk from Rage play, and he was good enough. But,
yeah.
you know, much respect to Black Sabbath.
I bought Gotta my first Ozzy album. And I don't know why I did this because I had options, but I bought my first Ozzy album with my own money on 8-track. So that's how old I am, mm-hmm. I guess. But yeah, I bought Diary of a Madman from Park Drugs in Merrillville.
Ooh, yeah.
On 8-track.
Old school record. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And played that, popped that sucker into my parents' Magnavox, you know, console, mm-hmm. big, you know, freaking.
That record, like that record itself, like just always looked dirty, didn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that a good description of it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It just
would.
Always looked like kind of like I don't know, like there was like fragments, like it looked like it was put in and out of a bookshelf like
yeah.
a thousand times, like it just
great,
had all these hairs
album.
On them, and yeah, Diary of Madman. Good album. Because I remember when I was a kid too, like what is this? Like you're looking, it looks like a werewolf on it, like.
Yeah.
It just looked like a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's an impression. But yeah, much respect to Ozzy and
that's great.
And Black yeah. Sabbath. I love it.
Well,
love
horror
it.
Horror movies. Allison has a good Guar story for you at least.
What's your
oh,
Guar story?
Guar.
I got Guar stories too.
Yeah.
But go, Allison,
well,
go.
I
That's a little
I thought I wanted to see Guar.
I thought I wanted
We did see Guar.
And so I liked Guar. I liked the music, and then we went to see them at Was it the Aragon? It had to be the Aragon.
No, it wasn't the Aragon. It wasn't that big. It was
Metro?
Riv. I don't know. Riv. One of those places.
Well, when we got there, I didn't know what to expect. And I mean, there were people in costumes. There was like a 10-foot Pope with like this huge penis like spraying yellow water out onto the crowd and blood shooting out of their necks and
easy,
things.
Allison. Tomorrow's Fat Tuesday.
Sorry. And there was fire and blood, and I was getting like sticky, like the things are shooting out onto the crowd. And I literally got scared, and I don't get scared of much, but I was like, what the fuck is going on, Chuck? What the fuck, Chuck?
Heard that one.
I had no idea what to expect with Guar, so I ended up like literally hiding behind Chuck half the time, like trying to listen but not get squirted with like
Chuck
some yellow sticky
like this, like...
liquid.
At a metal show.
He had to protect me.
Yeah. He's
from
the
Guar.
Protector.
Yeah. I've protected her from getting her knocked on her butt a few times.
Yeah.
That's all good.
I always think I want to get in the pit. Yeah. And I do want to get in the pit, but then...
She does. She gets in the pit.
Yeah, I do.
She's one of the few girls, and then they slap right. five, and then...
All right. I'm asking this on behalf of your son and your daughter. How was Screeching Weasel? Or was...
Hey!
Well, it's coming up this weekend.
Now your son and daughter, they know now. So let's let them know.
Shout out to Ethan and Sophie.
Ethan and Sophie.
Screeching Weasel is Screeching this Weasel. Saturday night. We're going to see him.
It's an inside joke, but they know. They know.
They know.
But yeah, you guys are going. Where are they playing it?
Reggie's.
Reggie's, the Rock House.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
So coming up? There's something playing at the Beat Kitchen that we've never been to the Beat Kitchen. Mm-mm. It's a tiny little place.
I've been to the Beat Kitchen. I've been there.
What do you think about it?
It's hostile.
Hostile.
Pantera reference.
Yeah, Pantera
sorry.
Reference. Everybody, sorry.
Get it out there.
I don't remember if it was the Beat Kitchen. Yeah, it was the Beat Kitchen. Hannibal Buress. Mm. I met him there. He was just at the bar, a comedian. Yeah. Hanging out, talk to him for a while.
Cool. Yeah.
Beat Kitchen's cool. Go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little rough.
I can't remember who was coming there that we went. Wonder Bar. Yeah. We were sitting in Mucho Mas and shout out to Mucho Mas in Michigan City.
The big MC.
What's going on in Michigan City and like LaPorte County? Because it just seems
far. They're trying.
I know they've always tried, but is there like they used to have an old school like hardcore scene there in the early 2000s, and it was it was respectable. Like, it was. I mean, this is a long time ago.
I can't
remember the band's names. I mean, but is there anything good going on that way?
I mean, beer. I mean, we go out there. We're friends with the guys at Burnham Brewery. I mean, we love those guys. I mean, they're doing beer. I mean,
I love Burnham.
Yeah,
they're good guys.
I mean,
good shit.
They actually sell our cold brew. We bottle our cold brew. They sell our cold brew coffee out there too. And they're always good to kind of hang out with. And they always throw a good party. I love the vibe out there. It's not, you know, it's more hippie-esque than our vibe, but that's okay.
Your vibe, Chuck?
Hostile.
Hostile! That Pantera vibe.
Yeah.
It comes from
the
counties.
Pantera.
They don't get it. I know.
Yeah.
You know, there was like when Dimebag got killed, I think it was, it's December, I think he got gunned down, and I wanted to do like a show just, you know.
Yeah.
Like, 15 to 30 minutes to Dimebag, and it'll happen eventually. But what an awesome soul. What an awesome person. Like, everything about his music, and if you've ever watched anything about Dimebag, like his personality, like just a really, really great person.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame that he got gunned down like that.
Crazy.
It's like a sore subject. Like, I wanted to do it. That's what I'm getting at. Like, I wanted to do it a while ago, but it's just like I almost like I knew him or something weird, like, and I didn't, you know.
Well, it's one of those, you know, things built into our, you know, if you're into that kind of music at all, and you know, it's just a sad story,
and everyone should be into whatever and everything Dimebag had to represent, because he was such a nice dude, and it always seemed genuine, you know, like from his solo to whatever he had to say on film. Like, great, great person, and I never met him. But
authentic.
Very authentic. Thank you. Thank you. Like, just awesome. Did you guys ever get to see Pantera live?
No, we never did. I mean, I would have loved to. Yeah.
I did twice.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right, kudos.
Oh,
yeah. It was a good time.
Where'd you see him at?
I got to see him at Ozfest 2000, and then at, what is it in Chicago now? They call it something different. It was Pantera, Black Sabbath, and Deftones. At one of those big places. Where do they do the car shows?
Oh, yeah, McCormick Place.
Remember they used to do shows back then?
Did they?
Yeah.
Like, I've never been. Yeah. Never
or
been
the
to...
Rose, or was it the
Rosemont Horizon?
Thank you, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago. It was like late 90s.
Yeah.
Really good time. Really good time.
I saw late 80s, mid 80s, something. I saw, I never liked going to those big shows. But I saw Aerosmith. I saw Dokken open up for Aerosmith, if you remember Dokken.
I do.
Yeah, so that's some metal roots for you. But the last time, I think I saw Genesis there one time, and I would have rather like had a root canal. It was fucking
all right, you guys, what's going on with some events at Fluid coming up?
So the next event is this Friday is open mic night, which gets kind of crazy at Fluid. It's experimental. It's strange. And people come out and do music. They do poetry. And some people that are really doing cool stuff in local bands come out and do little experimental things. So that's this Friday at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9. And our open mic night is totally free. We have a small space, so it gets packed out where it's standing room only. People sit on the floor. It gets kind of crazy. But all you have to do is walk in, sign up at the sign-up sheet, and do your thing. So
and buy
everybody's
some coffee.
Welcome.
You guys have any good stories about, like, any other open mic nights or, like, any...
Oh, jeez.
How much time do we have? How about the punk rock? You guys are telling me about the punk rock night.
Yeah,
we're banned from being able to have actual live shows there because of our endeavors.
Yeah, that was a local band called Interdependence, and they are they're pretty hardcore punk, and we decided that we were going to have them play at Fluid. We're excited, like, this is perfect. We have them set up. We have like a lounge area in the back, and it's a little dark space. And
a little green room?
Yeah, a little green room going on. And
Shred and I will be back there to do podcasts.
Yeah, go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, we just had a podcast there a couple weeks ago. Yeah, in that back room.
They got shit
beautiful.
On us.
It was beautiful. You guys are next.
Yeah, I'm not just joking, but yeah, we will be there with hands.
We would love to have you. You know, you guys are just hard to get.
And a lot of hams. That's all I'm saying.
We'll supply the hams.
We can bring it. So we had this punk rock band plug in, full drum set, super loud, and they just like, boom, went in on it. And the place was packed out. The music was great. It was really loud. And I'm standing behind the bar looking like, whoa. Like, this is my dream come true. Like, I can't believe this music's happening right now in my place. I'm so happy. This is the way it goes. Within a minute of having this, like, enlightened moment, the chef from next door walks in, like, red-faced, like, from his kitchen where he's been cooking, and he's so pissed. And he goes, turn it the fuck down. And everybody just kind of turns and looks at him. I mean, he was loud. Nobody quite understood what he said, and they're like looking at him, and he's like, turn it down. And so he left, and we tried to turn it down a little bit. We're messing with the amps a little bit, messing with the speakers a little bit. But to make a long story short, we were shaking the walls of the fine dining restaurant next to us.
Bobo hates us.
Our landlords had a little chat with us within a couple of days where we were called into the office, and Chuck and I were scolded.
What happened?
Really hard.
You really scolded?
Well, we were scolded hard.
You slapped on the wrist?
Little slap.
Yeah.
Chuck's like, I'm just going to play Slayer tomorrow.
So we keep open mic night unplugged now. And
kind of.
But no more loud punk in the tiny space.
We're not allowed to have full-on bands anymore. Our landlords have forbade it, so...
They have.
What about this?
Shout out to Michael and Dana.
What up, Mike? Kiss our asses. What about the philosophy and metaphysics night? What's up with that?
Oh, well,
February
that's a
27th. Yeah.
So that's a good thing going on. We have had three different people try to hold a philosophy group at Fluid, and they've all done a great job. But you get some, you know, our clientele, our reggies, so to speak, at Fluid, they know their stuff, and they're kind of hardcore into discussion. So I think we finally, this guy that's holding the discussion that's facilitating now, is he was a lawyer for 35 years, and he has his master's in philosophy, and he is a very wise man that kind of knows his shit. So he is leading this group, and as a facilitator, he throws these bombs out there and then kind of listens and then kind of guides the conversation, and it's a beautiful thing. So his name is Michael Galanis, and he is leading this group, and that's coming up later this month, too. It's totally open to everyone, and we get a really diverse group for it. Everybody from VU students to people in their 50s and 60s. So, yeah.
It stuck out to me. I'm like, what's going on with that?
It's good times.
Yeah.
I've taken, like, philosophy classes, but metaphysics, you see that. I'm like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's
existentialism
good.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably noticed the Camus quotes on our walls. And
yeah, for sure.
Dali, and you know, I mean, we're by no means experts in the area, but we like to dabble. We like to read.
Yeah, nor am I.
I like that conversation. I think it's cool to have a very open mind and just be mindful at the same time. You know, just let's talk about it. But we the guy it. That's doing it, what's his name again, you said?
Michael Galanis.
Okay.
And he's a lawyer in this area for 35 years, and so a lot of people know him, but his passion kind of lies in philosophy, so he has his master's in philosophy as well, and he likes to dabble in all sorts of schools of philosophy. So he came to us. He's also an artist, and he lives nearby. He's a customer, and he came to us with the idea to facilitate this group, and it's been amazing. And like I said, the diversity of the people that show up, and you know, it's like when you sit around, like we were talking about earlier, at the bar, and you ponder these life questions with a good friend. But these are with, you know, this group is with some strangers too. You know, you bring
That's
your
the
friends,
best
and then it's strangers, and so you get these outside views that you normally wouldn't have. So it's a great thing. It's definitely, and it's a free event. I mean, you just come in and hang out,
drop knowledge.
What's
up with Bob? How do you say his last name? Molsong.
Yeah, I would say Molsong. He's an author. He's an author, and he's written young adult books, children's books, and a couple of novels. And
you guys are gonna have him March 10th.
We are. He is going to be doing a book signing, and his books are available on Amazon, and he's a really interesting dude, too. Very interesting dude. He's a super cool guy. We like to support local authors. We usually have at least one book signing a month, and it's like I was saying with this podcast, just people putting their stuff out there. There's so much local talent and creativity.
We have to put it out.
Let's put it out there and let's support each other. I mean, this guy is writing. He's sitting at, like, you know, people say, I want to write a novel with my life. Like, people, this is a common thing. Like, I'm going to write a novel. But this is a dude who, you know, from Valpo, that's actually done it. Not once, but a few times. Like, he's gotten his stuff down. So
yeah, he's got his
stripes. A cool guy. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very cool.
That Jose Rios, he's a great guy, man. I mean, he's a well-known face in Valpo, but he did a children's book, and he did a book signing last month or month before last, whatever. But people turn out for that stuff, man. It's supporting the arts. It's not just the visual arts and, you know, the music, but writing, I mean,
it's all crazy. on the same playing field, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're all doing here, to a certain extent, like you said earlier, like just a second ago, like just promoting awesome artistic ideas and just open ideas and ideology. Like, just, you got to go with it. Like, whatever your business is or whatever your belief is, like, just promote it and just keep going and going and going.
Honestly, at this point in our life, in our world, it's hard to not be staring at your phone, at Facebook and Instagram and anything else it has to offer for you, you know, and to actually put it down and write a novel, do a podcast, paint a painting, study philosophy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that, like, you know, I want to carry the torch of this stuff. Obviously, you guys do too. It's really what makes you feel good. It's really what, you know, connects us all community-wise,
where
we can really appreciate what each other's really doing, not in a fake
bullshit
Facebook
way.
Kind of way, but in a reality kind of way. Like, this is what I've got. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I commend everybody that's doing that.
Yeah, here's the business. Here's the paint on the wall.
Yeah.
Here's the recording, whatever you're into. Like, here it is. Like, this is what I might be about, or Sretton, or you two with your business, or whatever your art is, but here it is.
Yeah.
We all support one another.
Yeah.
So check it out. Like you said, I think with our generation, I think it's very important to pass down to the next one this do-it-yourself mentality.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always, I liked when I first came into your business, you know. It seemed very do-it-yourself, and that punk ethic.
Totally
And, you know, and I could, you know, and just meeting you guys within 5 minutes, like, these are real people. This is what I'm into, you know.
Cool.
Sincerely. No bullshit. And that's why we are very happy to have you here and to promote your business.
Thank you.
We really, really love your business. I know I do. Sretton needs to get out there. I know he's been
there. I've been out there a handful of times.
Okay.
I had a before we opened the green door, we were thinking about doing the maker space in the area, and the plan changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of meetings at your guys' place.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it. It's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
But yeah, we're all brave thinkers, I think. And I know, and we're going to just move things along. You know, like, even talking to, like, you have your son and your daughter there, both of you guys, like, they were just awesome, very personable. I loved everything about your establishment and your business. It's really, really awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man,
it was, I appreciate that.
And Allison, it
big
was
time.
Really, really
That's a
good.
High compliment coming from you.
Yeah, and you guys are just really cool, and thanks for coming tonight. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. This has been beautiful.
Yeah,
like,
right?
You can definitely know when you're vibing with your type of people. So it's a great thing, and this space is amazing to be sitting in with this lighting and these books surrounding us and the whole environment. It smells beautiful in here. It looks beautiful in
here.
So
like good books in
I
here.
Appreciate right. it so much. Yeah. And then we had like fine crafted moonshine.
Don't forget that part. We
you
had moonshine from Serbia. It was pear moonshine.
You guys have been wonderful hosts.
And
thank
hams.
You so much. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, check out next episode. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right. I'm musically meditated.